What if a play ended 1 inch further? A runner could have run 1 second faster. A team didn't have a draft pick too late, or an infamous trade was instead declined. Sports history isn't as straightforward as just stats and awards, winners and losers would make you believe. Endless alternate possibilities exist, and some could have not just impacted the outcome of one particular game, but in some cases the sport and world itself. Join us as we explore and discover the wrinkle in the game.
Hey, Phil, you remember the 1990s?
I remember the 90s very well.
What you got for me? Yeah, do you happen to remember a Chicago Bull player by the name of Michael Jordan?
That doesn't ring the bell.
I probably never even heard of them before.
We got a story about Jordan today?
I think it's time we should probably look into telling a couple stories here about Michael Jordan, or at least just start out with one today.
It's a nice thing for you to give some unknown basketball player some airtime. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, he's probably hurting for money too. So maybe he might actually make a royalty or two off of this pod. So, old Michael Jordan, he won 3 NBA titles in a row with Chicago in the early 90s, and then oddly retired for 2 years to play minor league baseball. He made a movie with some space aliens and managed to find his way back to the league. In 1996, he played for Chicago again, and they won the NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then something really weird possibly could have happened. After he won the NBA Finals there in 1996, he happened to have a friend of his who played center for the New York Knicks named Patrick Ewing. And Jordan was not under contract with Chicago. He was actually in the process of looking for what's called a balloon payment in the NBA. So Jordan was looking for a lot of money, in our words. And where better to get a lot of money than the team in New York? And you get a chance to play with, apparently, one of your really good friends.
And also, if he went to the Knicks, he would also get away from Krause. So that was probably
this
also
is true. I don't think him and Jerry were really getting along that
much. So there's also
but a plus. Of course, that means you'd have to give up hanging out with his good man, Phil, which ultimately, this is the reason why he went back to Chicago, is because of Phil Jackson, the relationship they had with Phil Jackson. But the story goes that Jordan's agent, David Falk, got in touch with the New York Knicks. And this is shortly after Cablevision, which was this corporate entity, had just extended their ownership of the Knicks and Madison Square Garden to 90%. So this was a time where the Knicks have a lot of extra cash to potentially give to Michael Jordan. The story goes that David Falk got the deal with the Knicks, and it would be somewhere in the term of $25 million, and it would be split. The Knicks would have been on the hook for $12 million, and another $15 million, or give or take a couple dollars here and there, would actually come from Sheraton Hotels. And that's going to play into this a little bit too. So key to here, Sheraton Hotels. What David Falk did once the deal was on the table, he turned around, called up Jerry Reinsdorf, who's the owner of the Chicago Bulls, and said, "You have 1 hour to beat this offer." And Michael Jordan came within 30 minutes of signing with the New York Knicks. He ended up going back to Chicago for $30 million. Which ended up being his biggest balloon payment, and the biggest balloon payment in NBA history up to that point.
And you might have mentioned this. Did he have they said you have 30 minutes. Did the Knicks give him a certain amount of years or anything besides, anything extra that we know about?
1 year. Just 1 year agreement. Come play for us for $25 million. And we're going to split it up between ourselves and Sheraton Hotels. So in this odd, we're going to say that Chicago, for some oddball reason, let's just say Krause was having a bad day eating his hokey, and decided, you know what, screw it. We can win titles with Scotty alone. And so Michael goes off and he signs up with the Knicks. So That means two things. Number one, he is now going to play with his very good friend, Patrick Ewing. So you're going to have this high-low combination that Jordan's never played with before. Never had a center as talented as Patrick Ewing. So this is going to be an interesting thing.
Excuse me. Have you not paid attention to Luke Longley? Did you watch him play? Come on, man.
Bill Wellington, ring a bell. Man, these were the Chicago Bulls that everybody remembers.
Oh, man, they always had a hole at the center position.
It didn't matter. So Jordan's going to go and play with arguably top three center in the game. He would also, because of his deal, end up becoming the face of Sheraton Hotels. That's two things off the bat. The 1997 NBA champions are the New York Knicks. It's hands down. Jordan's going to win league MVP. The Bulls end up maybe finishing in the semifinals against Heat that year. Mm-hmm. Miami was a pretty good team. I could definitely see Miami being that Bulls team. And then you have the New York Knicks led by Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan. They're going to win the NBA title. And that would be over to Utah Jazz. In 1998, I think this is where things start to get a little interesting. Because in 98, that's when Patrick Ewing breaks his wrist. And really, at that point, Patrick Ewing ceases to be really Patrick Ewing at that point. He was still decent. He was still good, but he wasn't as dominant. It was in December of that season, and he missed the entire regular season. So he eventually came back in the playoffs. But by that time, they had already fallen, and they're not a number one seed. I think in this scenario with Jordan on the Knicks, they don't fall nearly as far, and they end up being that three seed in the playoffs. That year, you had a super team hidden in Reggie Miller and the Indiana Pacers. And I think the only reason why the Pacers didn't end up in the finals that year is just because Jordan and Sheer Will, and it was the last dance in Chicago. In this scenario, the Pacers are going to beat the New York Knicks. So Pacers beat Michael Jordan here, and they will go on and lose to the Utah Jazz in the finals. And the only reason why they're going to lose on that is that the combination of John Stockton, Karl Malone, it's too much. Mm-hmm. And it's all Sheer Will on their end. The Jazz finally win a title in 1998 in this alternate reality.
So Jordan goes to the Knicks, win a title, Indiana gets a title, and Utah gets a title. Three other teams would get titles because of this one move.
Only two right now. The Knicks would win in 97 and the Jazz would win in 98 over.
Oh, you're right. Indiana would lose to the Jazz.
Yeah. But I think the Pacers will actually go to the finals that year. And that was a great team.
That was a good Pacers team.
That was a really good Pacer team. In 99, remember, this is the lockout season. So the season's going to get stripped down to 60 games. I think losing in the NBA Finals for the first time, this pisses Michael Jordan off to just an unbelievable level. I could see it to the point where he isn't really talking to anyone, any other team. Remember, he's signing one-year and go deals. He's not signed for multiple seasons.
He's Michael Jordan. Every team will want him.
Exactly. So I think what eventually happens here is that he does re-sign with the Knicks, but this is under the condition that the team signs Phil Jackson as head coach in 1999. And the big trick to that is that Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson had a very close relationship. They were extremely close with each other. I think losing the NBA title with Van Gundy as head coach, that's not going to cut it for Jordan. So Jordan it's either he leaves or I leave. And I think that at that point, Knicks are fine with that. We're bringing you back. And we're going to hire up Phil Jackson too. Another strange thing happened in the course of this. And Sheraton Hotels actually gets bought by Starwood. But the reason why Starwood bought Sheraton Hotels is because they outbid Hilton. I think if Michael Jordan is in the face of Sheraton Hotels, Hilton ends up buying Sheraton, will not be outbid because you get Sheraton Hotels, you get Michael Jordan. And I think that this is how Michael Jordan actually ends up with some ownership in with a Hilton Hotel Group, which is completely bizarre possibility. But I can see this happening because you're already paying out millions of dollars to him literally from Sheraton Hotels. He is Mr. Sheraton Hotel at this point. And we get to 99 with the actual basketball. I think that the Knicks, with Ewing continuing to decline, and he declined significantly in this season, they struggle. It's still John Starks. It's Charlie Ward. You've got some players out there, but the Knicks are really rapidly declining, and they just barely make it on in here, and they're a meddling team. They're about maybe a five seed, but I still think that you end up with that magic run in 1999. Yeah. Because
with,
they
with
may have,
Larry, with Larry Johnson hitting his four pointer.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I think that they make the magic ride and they get up into the Eastern Conference Finals. They play the Pacers again. They beat the Pacers. The San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, they beat them in the final.
Yeah, okay. Spurs. Like, Spurs beat them.
The Spurs were a buzzsaw that year.
The Spurs with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, Avery Johnson, they get them. Right. So. I'm say that they probably lost in six games in 1999. You get to 2000. So I think after losing two straight finals here, I think Jordan is at absolute peak anger. The roster is John Starks. All these guys are just getting really old. Ewing is gotten to the point where he's a complete shadow of himself. They need to restructure the roster. So it's either restructure up the roster or Jordan's not going to re-sign. At that time in 2000, though, you happen to have another free agent superstar out there on the market, playing center, playing power forward, actually, Tim Duncan.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that the Knicks, in this case, due to restructure, sign up Tim Duncan to come play with Michael Jordan. Jordan's 37 years old at this point. He's still playing, let's just say, maybe 80%. Of what he was, he's still, bar none, the best player in the game. So I think that the Knicks with this roster, also Duncan probably plays pretty decent with Jordan because of just how he plays in his role. It's not so much a me type player here. So I think Jordan probably plays pretty decently with him.
Duncan could have played with any star.
Yeah.
Made it work.
Yeah, I think that this actually is probably pretty decent chemistry between the two of them. Also, I think that Jordan, you're getting to the end row here, so I believe that the deferment over to a younger superstar is probably not that unappealing to him at times, particularly with a guy like Duncan, who is not just completely flashy and in your face about it. So I'm going to say the Knicks, again, would make the finals here. I think that they probably get by the Indiana Pacers in 2000, and they end up against Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, and those LA Lakers. Only this time, Phil Jackson's over here with New York. I think that Jackson, Duncan, and Jordan get the NBA final win here against the Lakers in 2000. This makes Jordan happy. He's good. He's 38 years old. Just won NBA finals. Signs up for one more year. So him and Duncan, they're going to do the repeat thing. But this time, they're going to lose in the finals to the Lakers. So I think that what you're going to see here for at least 3 years is very similar to what just happened a couple of years ago with the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors, where it's pretty obvious that these are the two best teams in the NBA. They just sail through the season and they collide into each other. And by the end of it, I see 2002, 39-year-old Jordan with Duncan making the finals again, but they'll lose to the Lakers again because the Lakers at this point, they're just better.
Yeah.
It's not a fault onto Duncan so much as it is. Jordan's just really aging at this point.
And that's interesting to me because I wonder how the Lakers would be without Phil and who their coach is. Because before Jackson was Kurt Rambis, if I'm not mistaken, for the Lakers. And there's no way he stayed. I feel like he was always a stopgap. So I wonder who they would have hired after Rambis, because I think he was always in it for just 1 year.
Yeah, and a twist of irony, because honestly, I don't know who would be. I hadn't really thought too much on the Lakers coach. But we just jettisoned Jeff Van Gundy off. Let's give him a little revenge.
I like, okay, I'm going to go for that. And he would lead the Lakers. I like it.
Jordan will retire after the 2002 season. He finishes up his Knicks career here with five finals appearances. He wins two more titles with them and has at least one league MVP.
Okay. I wonder how that affects Jordan's legacy. Because the six titles and six finals is just such a, it's such a thing for him when they talk, especially when they talk about like LeBron and Jordan, because LeBron's been to so many and has lost a few. I wonder if Jordan losing, he's lost six.
You're being kind.
He's lost.
Oh, Lord.
He's been to 10 and lost four, I think. Is that correct? That's just off the top of my head. I think that's right, but I'm not 100% sure.
Let's just pull that up real fast.
So if that's true, he's lost six.
He has lost six. Okay. You're forgetting about the first one against San Antonio back in 2007. Well, yeah,
there was no way he was ever going to win that one.
No. No, not against that Spurs team.
Yeah, but I wonder if Jordan losing a couple of finals, if that affects just his greatest of all time. Like his just being one of the best basketball players of all time, it's not going to affect it. But as the GOAT type of discussion.
I think it does. The mystique about Jordan is that untouchable record, particularly when it was winning time. Mm-hmm. So I think that losing a finals would definitely tarnish the record a bit as far as just the mystique. Although I think that there's also something to be said to Jordan, the early Jordan career where he was league scorer, he is league MVP, but he never made the finals. In this reality, there's really three different incarnations of Jordan in this. And so I think that when you look at his actual career, there's the two incarnations of him where I'm going to just say the bridge of the baseball thing. Look, the winning with the Bulls, those six titles, it's all one era. You can try to break it however you want, but it's still Jordan just being dominant for those when he was playing and on the court, you couldn't beat him. And so I think that definitely it tarnishes it up a bit. And also I think the big reason why they won in 98 particularly is just sheer willpower. I mean, we all saw The Last Dance. There was some motivation that wasn't just on Jordan in 98. And really, when you look at what happened in 98, particularly against the Indiana Pacers, they could have easily lost. And they were not untouchable in 1998, but they pulled it off.
Now that you've given me all that information, I need to go through all those teams to see, because it's going to change the history of so many different players in general. I was thinking about 97, the offseason before 97, the Knicks signed a shooting guard. He was playing for the Pistons, I believe, and signed with the Knicks right before that 97 season that Jordan, in your scenario, would go to them. So I wonder what ends up happening with Allen Houston, because what happened was John Starks was a starter. And halfway through that season, Allen Houston took over and John Starks became the backup.
Yeah.
So like, and Allen Houston, obviously, he was a great player, a sharpshooter, a smooth stroke, a great player for the 99 team with Latrell Sprewell and Larry Johnson and all of them. But they don't need him if they got Jordan. They're spending all this money on Jordan. Does Allen Houston become a lifelong Piston or does he go someplace else? So there's a lot of different scenarios that I wonder about how that would change throughout the scenario.
Yeah, I think that he brought the coaches on this. I think that's what's fun about playing this game. I mean, there's just so many possibilities. And really, one of the things that hurts me here, particularly in this scenario, is I completely screw my Spurs over. But it makes sense. You can't have a free agent that big at that moment. And it makes logical sense.
And then, especially with coaches with the Lakers, I think whoever coaches the Lakers is huge, because you have these two huge personalities who don't get along in Kobe and Shaq. And like, a lot was given to what Phil Jackson did with them, the Zen type of attitude. I feel like no matter how talented they are, just they butted heads so much that it's, you can't just put in any coach and have it work.
That's fair.
They might have eventually been like, okay, we need to get on the same page if we're going to make a championship happen. So they might have gotten there, but it's impossible to say. So it's hard to say that they would automatically, even with Shaq and Kobe, without Phil, that they would automatically win those championships. Because I don't know. They had 97. Kobe was drafted in 97, I believe.
Yeah.
With the Hornets. Didn't play for the Hornets, but that's who drafted him. But so they had a few seasons where they didn't win anything. And obviously, rookie Kobe is a lot different than 3 years in the league Kobe, as far as just ability and knowing what the NBA is. But they did nothing with Kurt Rambis, who apparently they thought he would be a good one-year coach. Did not work out.
I honestly barely even remember his time there.
Oh, I have a, for only playing 1 year, I have a strong memory of him coaching them. I remember him being the head coach with his longish hair and glasses. And I have no idea why, but he was there 1 year, but I have a good memory of it. Apparently he made an impression on me. I love this scenario because there are so many moving parts. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Babe Ruth, and there was, no matter what happened, I felt like it was always moving in a straight line. You know what I mean? There's always this trajectory of something that was going to happen. But with this scenario, there's so many moving parts. Like, so many people's histories would be different if this had happened.
Oh, absolutely. And you think about, like, just iconicism. We touched on the Jordan mystique. You think about the image of him at the end of the NBA Finals in 1998 hitting the final shot against Utah. You want to talk about ending legacies. How does it look different if Michael Jordan ends up retiring after losing two straight NBA Finals versus going off with the winning shot?
That's true. And even when you think about just different players, think about Malone and Stockton's legacy if they win a championship.
Changes. It changes significantly.
Yeah. And then the Knicks, and that would give Patrick Ewing a championship.
Yeah.
So his legacy. Now, would they have still gotten, when did Latrell Sprewell go to the Knicks? When did the whole Warriors thing happen?
I think it was 99, actually.
99. Yeah, because I think the 99 season was right when they made the finals. That was his first season with the Knicks.
I believe that was.
Because Latrell going to the Knicks honestly really saved his career, because his career was dead after choking Carlissimo and when he played for the Warriors. And going to the Knicks just helped revive his career. When honestly, it's hard to know for sure if he should have even had a chance, but the Knicks gave him one. And he played with the Knicks, he played shooting guard sometimes, but he could also play small forward. So he wasn't an only, like, I'm only going to play shooting guard. So they could have had Jordan and Sprewell. But I wonder what would have happened with him.
I don't think he's signed.
You don't think he's signed?
No. I don't think he's in New York.
Again, the next question is, which team would give him a chance after what happened in Golden State? So that's completely could change his career. Or would. And I honestly don't think he would sign if they had Jordan as well.
I don't know.
But
that was kind of thing where, you know, as I'm going through this, I was actually trying to, in my mind, keep an idea of what's going on with the Bulls for that first season. And there was a thought in my mind, particularly as I was looking at, like, the NBA brackets for the playoffs each year. I'm just like, okay, so in this scenario, you know, where are the Knicks in this, and whose line are they taking? Who's dropping down? Who's moving around? Who would they play? And then also looking, because if you're going to take a literal legend in, like, Tim Duncan and moving him from the Western Conference at a time when he was in his prime over to the East, what does that do? It's difficult to actually say whether the Lakers would make the finals, because you had some really good teams in Sacramento, particularly starting around 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings with Chris Webber and Mike Bibby.
And Vlade Divac.
Yeah. Those were some really underrated teams, and underrated with all caps.
Honestly, it's highly possible. The early 2000s, people often forget about the Kings and the Blazers, man. Those were two teams that really should have won the championship if the Lakers weren't in their way. The Lakers were just too good.
There were also some known badly refereed games that gave the edge to the Lakers, but that's beside the point. It's impossible to say, but it's interesting to think about all of the different players who would have ended up on different teams and how their histories would be different if this had happened. Because it's a lot different than just saying, oh, Jordan goes to the Knicks, so the Knicks are good for a few years. There's a lot more moving parts than just that thought.
One of the things that I was actually really playing with in my head, I thought it was bizarre that the money that was coming in from a corporate entity like Sheraton Hotels and Resorts on this, and the idea that Jordan would suddenly become not just the face or brand of Nike, but there's actually a very, came apparently within 30 minutes of becoming the face and brand of hospitality. You think about like where you are still to this day. I think if it really did come to this, I think, yeah, Hilton probably does end up buying Sheraton Hotels. Jordan could probably still to this day be the face that you think of when you think of going and staying at a Sheraton Hotel. And it could almost be synonymous at this point, which is completely different.
I feel like I'm going to have to chew on some of this for a little bit. Take some time to really look into it. But yeah.
It's a wrinkle in the game, my friend.
It is. Thank you, Rob.
What's the next pod?
Yeah, this month, we really hit some juggernauts in sports with Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan. I don't know if we can get any more up than that because that's a couple of just big time athletes. But the next pod, we're going to talk about the dunk contest. Have you ever watched the dunk contest, Rob?
I believe I've seen some YouTube highlights over the years.
It's often one of the most questioned all-star event in all of sports. The highs are really high, the lows are really low. So next pod, we are going to talk about one of the best dunk contest performances of all time and what would have happened with the dunk contest if this performance had never happened. So get your dunking cap on and see you at the next pod. Bye.